Vamos. So we had the apologies from Simon and Greg and Paul. That they couldn't. The others, I imagine, will still, some will still turn up. I don't know exactly, but we can't wait. So we've got something really quite exciting to discover, particularly in the Rambam. But today, what we've got to do is we've got to master the psukim. So what we've got to do today, and this is where the remember we talked about the fact that Bechoris is like a merging of Kodshim and Nezikin, and Nezikin all works with logic and with sforas and with philosophy. And Kodshim works with much more mathematically, just with working with psukim and how to use the different psukim. So it's a very different kind of a discipline. And in Bechoris, we've got both. So up till now, when we've been working on the Mishnah and Rashi, we've been working conceptually. Tonight, we've got to start doing both. We've got to continue working conceptually, but we've also got to start getting a grip on the psukim. We've seen there's several different psukim. It's not clear which ones are used for what. And it gets more detailed as we get into the Gemara. So it's important that from the beginning we get we work with the psukim and become very, very familiar with the psukim. In the WhatsApp that I sent out, I mentioned to you that we've dealt with two big chidushim in Rashi that are important and that are linked. The one is that Rashi seems to hold that a petach hamor has some kind of kedusha. It's not just a matter of you have to give it to the kohen, you have to do a pidyon. It's also b'hanoi that he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. I just said we had a bunch of apologies for tonight. So we
somebody said it tonight. There's a couple of different things.
Other things going on. Eventually we'll get to the point where Gemara takes precedence.
Unfortunately, apparently there's a few simchas. So.
Unfortunately.
Never. Never. So the one thing in Rashi was that the Petach Hamor has some kind of Kedusha. And that manifests like in Rabbi Yehuda's din that you can't have Hanor from a Petach Hamor until you've been poided. So there's an Isur Hanor, which means that it has some kind of Kedusha. Even though it's a treif animal, it doesn't go into the Beis HaMikdash, it doesn't go into the Mizbeach, nevertheless, it has some form of inherent Kedusha. As a result of that, we came to the next idea is that by selling the animal, certainly a regular Bechor and even a Chamor, by selling it, you remove it from the Halachot of Bechor. And when you reduce the number of halachot that apply to an object or to a person, you reduce the level of kedusha. So the idea in Rashi, the philosophy, the worldview, the conceptual idea is that kedusha is an outcome of halachot, not the other way around. It's not that you've got to treat a thing according to certain halachot, which is the way it works in all non-Jewish systems. So because Lahavdil, a church, is a holy place, therefore you can't do A, B, and C. With us, it's the other way around. A Beit Knesset has a whole lot of halachot. You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do that. Since it has halachot, that gives it its kedusha. Shabbos, it's not that Shabbos is a holy day. Since Shabbos is a holy day, it has a whole lot of halachot. No, Shabbos has a whole lot of halachot. Since it has a whole lot of halachot, which Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday don't have, therefore Shabbos has kedusha. So that's a very important perspective of Rashi. As Rashi understands, and not also as we'll see as we go, it's not only Rashi, but Rashi really articulates it in the Mishnah. If we learn Rashi carefully, we see that being articulated in the Mishnah. The third chiddush that we're going to learn from Rashi is in the last Rashi, on the Mishnah, at the end of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah says this, that if a goy has any part in the petach hamor, whether it's in the mother or in the calf or however it is, if the goy is any part involved, you potter from the bechira, Shenemar beYisrael, aval lo beAcherim. It says clearly in the pasuk beYisrael and not beAcherim, and therefore that applies. Says Rashi. Let's just look at the previous Rashi as well. Patur min abchora, the second last Rashi on the Mishnah. Patur min abchora, im oto ubar shekana min haoved kochavim, o shemachal oved kochavim bechoru. If that fetus that he either sold to the non-Jew or bought from the non-Jew is a bechor, eno kadosh. Here's where we see that there is kedusha. But if the goy has a chelik in it, eno kadosh. He doesn't just say eno chayev bechorah, and it says eno kadosh. It doesn't have kedusha. Hoil v'yesh chelik l'oved kochavim bo o be'imo, because a goy has a piece either of it or of its mother. In either case, makes no difference which one. If a goy has a piece of the animal or the or its mother, it doesn't have kedusha. Why? Shneemar hikdashti li kol bechor beYisrael, aval lo ba'acherim ovdei kochavim. That says Rashi. So Rashi identifies the pasuk. In the Mishnah, it's not altogether clear which pasuk it is, because the word Yisrael comes in a number of different places. But Rashi specifies a specific pasuk from Bamidbar Yud Perigimel. So let's just go through those psukim again, because we're going to refer to them a few times this evening and for the next few months. So we might as well become very friendly with the psukim. So let's look at three sets of psukim. There's Shmot Yud Gimel Bet. And that is Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor, Kadesh li kol bechor, peter kol rechem bivnei Yisrael, v'adam uv'hema lihu. It's one sentence that sweeps across all of Hilchos Bechoros and says, Kadesh li kol bechor. Have you got it there, David?
Yud Gimel Bet.
Every bechor. So this seems to cover behema tohur. Yeah, you got it there. You with us? This seems to cover all cases of bechor. Bechor adam, a bechor behema tohura, and a bechor behema tmeya. It doesn't seem to be any difference. Kol bechor peter kol rechem bivnei Israel, adam behema lihu. But it does say bivnei Israel. This is one of the times where it says bivnei Israel. Okay, but that's not the pasuk that Rashi brings. So here we've got the sweeping statement that Bechoros are Kodesh. We have a specific Chamor one in pasuk Yud Gimel of the same perek.
How does Rashi understand this? If this is almost given the Kedusha by commandment.
Yes.
Not by the halachas. It seems to go against what you said at the start, that it was by virtue of the halachas that around it creates the kedusha. This is saying, stating it, give it kedusha.
It's a good question. You're asking, what does that mean, make it kodesh? How do you do that? How do you make it kodesh? So, some seers will see in the halacha as we get on, as we get in, that there's a din according to some that you have to say this animal is kodesh. So that's one of the halachot, is that you actually have to say it. But we also have the din of that it's kadosh mirechem, that whether you say it or not, it's kadosh in any case. So you don't really have to make it. Although it says kadesh li kol bechor, what it really means then is apply the halachot of kedusha to every bechor. As we'll see further.
How does it work that we just said that the principle was that the halacha makes the kedusha?
Yes.
How does that...
Well, we haven't been given the halachot yet. All we're being told is kadesh li kol bechor, set it aside, because those halachas apply to it. Kadesh really means set it aside.
Okay.
All right. Kadesh, arayat mekudesh itli, means you set aside to me. The idea of kadosh is to set it, to separate it. As the Ramban says, kadoshim tiyu, it's precious, it's separating.
And therefore,
taking something aside, separating it, that's what you have to do. Once you've separated, all the halachot of kedusha of Bechor apply to it, and that is its kedusha. Then in Pasuk Yud Gimel,
the egg and the chicken, which came first.
Yeah, so we're seeing in Rashi this idea of the kedush of the halachot come first.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we see the chol petach hamor tifdeh b'sev im lo tifdeh b'arafto. Nobody brings this pasuk because this is just telling you about the pidya. This is not telling you about the kedusha of the chamor. This is just telling you, and there's a way to get the chamor out of its state of kedusha by a pidya. And if you don't do a pidyon, you have to do an arif. That's a separate thing. But this is not the dinim that we're talking about in this part of the perek. The second pasuk is in Bamidbar perek Gimel. So here in Pasuk Yud Beis, the Torah is talking about I've taken the Levim in place of the Bechoros, and in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Ki li kol Bechor b'yom ha-kotzi kol Bechor b'eretz Mitzrayim, Hikdashti li kol Bechor b'Yisrael, me'adam ad behema li yu ani Hashem. Another fairly sweeping statement of Bechoros. So that's number two. The introduction to Bechoros is in Shemot. The whole idea of the Levim replacing the Bechorim and a reaffirmation of the Kedusha of the Bechorim is in Bamidbar Gimel. And then in Dvorim, there's also one. In Dvorim, Tes Vav, Yud Tes. Tet Vav, Yud Tes, 15:19 in Dvorim. Kol ha-bechor asher yivaled bivkarcha uvitzoncha hazachar takdish la-Hashem elokecha. So this is even more to your point that you've got to do something. Takdish, you've got to make it kodesh. Does Rashi say anything on that takdish?
He's talking about specifically your bakar and so on.
But it's clearly your bakar and so on. So this is interesting for our purposes, isn't it? But what's interesting here is Bakar and Son. And what is Bakar and Son? Says Unkulu says, what is Bakar and Son? Torah uva anach. Torah is oxen and cows. That's Behema Gaso. And Anach is sheep and goats. Mm-hmm. And Anach, Ayin Nun Aleph in Aramaic, is sheep and goats. Nothing about a donkey here. Okay, so let's just notice that. Kol ha-bachor ha-shiv alei b'vkarcha v'tzoncha ha-zachar takdish la-Hashem elokecha. Those are the three areas of psukim that we're dealing with. Which is the one that Rashi says the Mishnah is focused on?
Probably.
For one would think maybe the third, but no, the second.
Bamidbar Gimel.
Bamidbar Gimel, Yud Gimel. Hikdashti li kol bechor. Hikdashti li kol bechor b'Yisrael. That he's using Gimel Yud Gimel. Which is interesting because Gimel Yud Gimel is a kind of an aside, isn't it? Hashem is saying the real part of that parasha is I'm switching the Bechorim out for the Levim. Because, by the way, the Bechorim I made special to me. That's not the origin of it all. The origin is in Shemot. So it's interesting that Rashi brings this pasuk as the main one. But be that as it may, that's what he brings. Ki li kol bechor b'yom ha-kotzi kol bechor b'eretz Mitzrayim, mikdash li kol bechor b'Yisrael, me'adam ad behema. I was makdish every bechor b'Yisrael, says Rashi, v'loy ba'achirim, it has to be a Jewish animal. It has to be an animal that is owned by a Jewish person, for that kedusha to be chal. So once again, you see that there's a different capacity of animals to be able to be to receive kedusha and to receive the different halachot. That being a Jewish animal, meaning an animal owned by a Jewish person, gives that animal certain status that it wouldn't have if it was owned by anybody else. So that's what Rashi learns. This is all talking about Petach Chamor. Now, chapter 2, Perek Beis of Bechoros, talks about Behema Tzohora. And we've got exactly the same Mishnah repeated at the beginning of Perek Beis, except it's talking about a Behema Tzohora. So if you look at Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph in your Gemara, you'll see exactly the same. הלוקח ובר פרתו של עובד כחבים והמחל, אף על פי שאין רשאי והמשתתף לא עד דדה, and it brings the same פוסוק, אלא מפתן הבן ומפת, שנאמר בישראל, אבל לא באחר. So up to that, the Mishnah is identical, brings the same posuk. Our Mishnah is talking about a petah chamor, and the Mishnah on Perek Beis is talking about a behemah tahora. And again, it's that same posuk, and clearly Rashi would say that's the posuk in Bamidbar Gil. So now let's get into Tosfot now. The first Tosfot. So what I would like to do today is we've got Rashi. I want to get Tosfos's view and then show you the Rambam, which is wild. Halokeach uber chamaro shel oved kochavim v'hamocher lo. Now what's interesting, by the way, as you see, remember I talked to you in the very beginning about Gemara methodology and what Gemara methodology means and how it works. Notice that to understand what's going on, you're having to keep three sets of psukim in your mind. And you've got to kind of be thinking in the three simultaneously. That's one of the methods of Gemara, that you're thinking in parallel tracks simultaneously. Educational researchers claim that that's what you need to do when you're in technology, when you're involved in the internet. That's how young kids are doing it all the time. They're multitasking. It's not that they're multitasking, switching back from one thing to another the way we do when we multitask. They're actually thinking in parallel tracks simultaneously. And Gemara trains one to do that. There's no other, until technology, there has never been another study that does that. Every other study focuses you on one area. In Halacha and Gemara, you're focused on something big, and I like to think of it almost as a sphere. So you've got the core, and then you've got layer after layer after layer. You can be looking at the whole ball, the whole sphere, and you're seeing all of it. You can't just look at the outside. You've got to see all the different layers. So here you get already an example of this. We've got to be thinking of all these three psukim all the way through. And we've got to have them in our mind. And the way to do it is to do it almost like icons. Rabbi Matthias Weinberg talks about the importance of being able to think of a concept as an icon, like we do in technology. So you don't have to read the whole thing. You just see a little picture and you know exactly what it means. So you need to make an icon in your mind about the posuk in Shmot, which is like the statement. That's the introduction. This is the halacha of Bechor. Then you've got Bamidbar Paragimel, which is the switching out of Levi'im for Bechorim. And by the way, we learn from that Bechor only applies if it's completely Jewish. And then you've got Dvorim, which is just about Bechor Behema Tahora, and we'll learn in the Rambam what the icon is in Dvorim. It's a different one. So Rashi's just brought one, so that's simple. But now we've got to start with Tosfos. And just as you have to keep your mind on three parallel tracks with these three sets of psukim, we're now going to have to keep our mind on Rashi and Tosfot, because they approach this differently. And you can't just learn one and then close that down and then learn the other one. You've got to have both screens open on your computer at the same time. And you've got to be able to see them both and be working with them both. And that's how the Jewish mind has been trained for hundreds and hundreds of years, for thousands of years. That's how the Jewish mind has been trained. And that's how our brain works. And I've always felt that that's partially responsible for the way Jews think, the way they're creative, the way they handle concepts, the way they innovate. Because that's just the way our minds are developed through centuries of learning Gemara. So now let's look at the Rambam at the Tosfos as an added layer, and then we're going to have the Rambam as a third layer. So we've got three psukim and three approaches to managing those psukim, and you've got to keep all of those. So what's that, like 3 to the power 3, I guess, isn't it? Yeah. That you've got to be able to keep in your mind as we go through. And that's only the first Mishnah. We haven't even started with the Gemara yet. So
it's an interesting thing. It's interesting. In the way we learned Gemara 20 years ago, we drew a table. And that doesn't work anymore. We're actually able to see things differently today. That there's and in the programming world, it moved from things that are very structured to object. We work with objects today. It's an icon which has got properties behind it, and if you execute that object, it does something. It has a whole.
Okay, so you'll see that working the way we learn. So let's get into the Tosfos. Halokeach ubar chamoro shelo oved kochavim v'amochelo. Lokeach miftar mibechora mishum aim shehi shel oved kochavim umocher miftar mishum vlad shel oved kochavim. Now, so imagine you're sitting in a shir and Tosfos is teaching you this Mishnah. And so he assumes you've read and translated the Mishnah already. When Rashi teaches the Mishnah, he helps you read and translate the Mishnah. When you come to Tosfot, he assumes you've read and translated the Mishnah, you know the Mishnah well. So he opens his shiur with a statement that the reason for the Ptur is different for the buyer and the seller, which, as you'll see, is very obvious in the Mishnah. We just didn't think of it as we read it. And Tosfot wants us to think about it. The Lokeach, the buyer, what did he buy? He bought the Ubar. And what did the Mocher sell?
His donkey.
The Ubar, right? In both cases, the object is the Ubar, the object is the fetus, there's a Mocher, there's a Lokeach. Whether you are the Jew selling the Ubar or you are the Jew buying the Ubar, in both cases, it's Potter. But says Tosfos, the reason for the Ptur is different. If you are the buyer of the Ubar, of the fetus, you Potter because... Why should you be potter? You've just bought an Ubar. That means you bought it before it was born. The moment it's born is the Bechoro, isn't it? It is a Bechoro. Who does it belong to?
You.
You're a Jew. So why shouldn't you have to go to a Kohen? The problem is the mother wasn't Jewish. So you've got a problem with the maternalism of the Bechoro. The Bechoro itself seems to be fine, but the DNA of the Bechoro isn't okay. The construction of the Bechor is fine, externally it's fine, it's a Bechor, belongs to a Jew, but the DNA isn't okay. It comes from an animal that belongs to the mother. An animal that belongs to a Goy. Umocher, and the seller, so now you sell the Uber to the Goy, well, of course the Goy is not going to have the Uber, belongs to a Goy. Miftu mishum v'lad shelo evit kechorim. There you might say, well, at the end of the day, this is a Bechor. Is it a Bechor?
DNA.
It doesn't change. It is a Bechor, both Bechor meaning firstborn. Bechor means two things. Bechor means firstborn, and Bechor means an animal that is subject to the halachot of Bechor. So Bechor is a concept, and Bechor is a word. The same as I don't know what Shabbat. Shabbat is Saturday, and Shabbat is Shabbos. It's the seventh day of the week. It's a day on the calendar. And it's the same for Goyim and for Jews. That's the day. But Shabbos is something else. Shabbos is all the halacha. So Bechor in halacha all the time. All these terms have double meanings. They have a pure physical meaning. But firstborn. Is this a firstborn? Yes, it's a firstborn no matter who owns it and who bought it and who sold it. It is a firstborn.
Biologically.
This is a firstborn. The problem is, If the Jew bought the firstborn from the Goy, the problem is it doesn't come from a Jewish mother, from a mother owned by a Jew. And if the Goy bought it, I might have thought that he's still Chayav Bechorah because it does come from a mother owned by a Jew. It's a Bechor, and it was born by a mother who belonged to a Jew, but the Bechor itself doesn't belong to the Jew. So either case, you're Potter. Now Tosfos gives his big chiddush. Umitrei kai krai nafki. And they come from two separate psukim, immediately diverging from Rashi. So you could only imagine if this was going on like in one yeshiva, that Rashi gives the shir first, and everybody goes and listens to Rashi, and then they go and listen to Tosfos, and Tosfos says, oh, you know, what you just heard from Rashi, forget it, not right. Rashi told you it's one posuk, it's not one posuk. How can it be one posuk? Mitrei krai nafki, it comes from two different psukim. Shall Oved Kechovim Poiter Bivachoro Afilo Ozno Kidamrin, or let's learn it with the brackets. The Shutfut Shall Oved Kechovim Poiter. The Shutfut Shall Oved Kechovim Poiter Bivachoro Afilo Ozno if there's a partnership of Novid Kachovim, even if the non-Jew only owns the ear, Uchdamrin, and further on, as we'll see on Daf Gimel, Maishna bo ba'inan kol b'chor v'lecha, imo nami ba'inan kol miknechat izakecher v'lecha. The Gemara there is very clear. It says, when the Gemara is discussing, if it just owns an ear, is that enough to patter it from Hilchos b'chor? And the Gemara says, yes, because Maishna bo ba'inan kol b'chor, if it's the animal, the b'chor itself, it says in the Torah, kol b'chor, and this is not kol b'chor belonging to a Jew. And the mother, it says, kol miknechat izacher. All of your, any of your mikne, of your cattle that gave birth to a zachar, v'leka. So you see, it says Tosfot on Daf Gimel, it's talking about two different psukim. Let's stop there, because the rest of Tosfot goes on to the next piece of Gemara. So we'll have to do the Gemara before we do the rest of Tosfot. But this is already a huge difference of the way you look at these halachas. Because according to Rashi, the mother and the baby are one unit. And if a goy has any part of that unit, it's a problem. According to Tosfot, they are two units. And they're two different halachot. Goy has a part in the mother, problem. Goy has a part in the baby, problem. Two different problems. And that's going to have some consequences in how we understand and how we unroll it. But what's important is to understand that what we're seeing here is Rashi's view of Bechor and mother, of calf and mother, as one halachic unit. So when we talk about the Hilchot Bechor, we're talking about the halachot of all the mother and the child together. Because what does Bechor mean? How can you separate the concept of Bechor from the mother? If the mother isn't there, it isn't the Bechor. You've got to look at the mother to know whether it's a Bechor. What makes it a Bechor? That the mother hasn't had a previous calf. That's what makes it a Bechor. So part of Hilchot Bechorot are invested in the mother. And then the object that is the Bechor is the baby. But according to Tosfot, these are two different things. There are halachot about the mother, there are halachot about the baby. Let's look at the at a few other things in the sheet that I've handed out to you. The first is a Gemara in Chuli. Daf Kuf Lamed Hei Omud Beis. So the Gemara here is going through various cases of a goy being a partner in things that have to go to the Kohen and that have Kedusha and so on. And at the end of that omud, the Gemara says, Bechora, afal gav dichtiv kol ha-bechor, ashe yivaled bivkarcha uvetzoncha. Where does it say that? In the third one, for the first time, Dvorim comes up. Tosfos is three psukim, by the way. Which are Tosfos' three psukim? When Tosfos says they come from two different psukim, which are they?
First one.
And right, it comes from Shmot, and it comes from Bamidbar, as we'll see. Kol Michnechat Izacher. But not Dvorim. Here in Chulin, we get the posuk in Dvorim is introduced. Even though it says kol ha-bechor asher yivaled bivkarcha uvtzoncha in the singular, didach in the shutfut lo, implying it's got to be yours only, not a partner's. Not talking about a goy. If two Jews are partners in an animal, that won't work because it says bivkarcha uvtzoncha
in the singular.
In the singular, katav rachmana uvchorot bekarchem uvtzonchem. It says in Perek Yud Beis, Bechorot Bekarchem Vetzonchem.
Which specifically came after the first source.
Which comes after, way after the first source, right. Ela Bekarcha Vetzoncha Lameli. So if it's not, so now we say partners are okay, because it says Bechorot Bekarchem Vetzonchem. Is a Shutfut good or it isn't good? One says Bekarcha, one says Bekarchem, which is it? Says the Gemara. So why does it say Bechorcha Vetzoncha? Lim utei shutfut aveid kochavim, to tell you that if a goy is your partner, then it's not okay. So now why do we need all the other psukim?
Maybe we're talking about the other kedusha. Remember, we're talking about two different kedushas.
Yeah, go on with that, yeah. So for example, where are you going to?
That Rashi spoke about a different kedusha than we learned about later on. She mentioned the first class about there's a kedusha of Bechor itself, and then there's a kedusha of
And there's the kedusha involved in giving it over to the kohen, or into the fact that
right,
it's been
one, for kosher ones, it has to go to the kohen and go into
right,
the
right.
kedusha Bechor itself.
So maybe here it's talking since it brings the pasuk from Dvorim, and we said the pasuk from Dvorim is talking only about
ones that have to go
only kosher ones. Yeah. So maybe that's a different kind of a thing. So let's just hold this place. All we see is all of a sudden the Gemara in Chulin is throwing in a different pasuk which doesn't appear in Bechoros, and which Rashi doesn't bring and Tosfos doesn't bring. All of a sudden the Gemara in Chulin brings a different one altogether. So now let's go further and look at the Shulchan Aruch in Simon Shin Kaf, which is the dinim of Bechor Behema Tahora in Seif Gimel. Shutfut ha'oved kachovim poter. Says the Shulchan Aruch, shutfus with a non-Jew is potu, she'im haya ha'oved kachovim shutaf befara or be'ubar. If the goy is involved either with the para or with the ubar, afilo haya lo echad me'elef ba'eim or bevlad, even if he had a 1,000th of a part, harei ze potu me'abachora. Lefichach, somebody has this arrangement of Kabbalah, I'll manage your animals, and we'll share the profits. Or Ovid Kachovim Shikibul B'Yisrael, Kaze, or a Jew, non-Jew who got it from a Jew. Hare Elupturim Ma'abechora Shenemar Peter Rechem Bivnei Yisrael Ad Shiyeh Hakol MiYisrael. Where does that come from? Shmot, different from Rashi.
So if you would have bought the mother before it was pregnant, it would be okay?
So if you would have bought the mother, why do you say that? Why might that have been okay?
I don't know. It's like the definition is on the mother. Since she's already pregnant.
Well, the Shulchan Aruch, and this is taken from the words of the Rambam, wants to say that a non-Jew can have no part in anything at all.
Even when it's an ubar.
Right. Even with the ubar. So at this one, this brings in the pasuk from Shmot, which is not the way Rashi does, it's the way Tosfot does. Look at the Biur Hagro in the next line. He says, what is the source for this din that a non-Jew may not have any part in an animal? Chulin daf kuf lamed hei, and the Mishnah in the beginning of Perek Beis. Why does he say Perek Beis and not Perek Aleph? Because we're reading Behemet Torah. So that's understandable. It's the same Mishnah, but this Shin Chaf in the Shulchan Aruch is dealing with Behemet Torah. Shin Kaf Aleph is dealing with Behemet Tmeya. So we're dealing here with Behemet Torah. He brings the Mishnah in Perek Beis. It's interesting, the Be'er HaGola, which is the Vilna Gaon's grandfather, also writes Mekoros for the Shulchan Aruch. When you look at the Shulchan Aruch, when you learn the Shulchan Aruch, there are three places you look for the Mekorot. Where does it come from? Where does the Shulchan Aruch get it from? Because the Shulchan Aruch just brings the bottom line. So the one is the Beis Yosef. The Shulchan Aruch himself wrote a parish on the Tur, and if you look in the Beis Yosef, you'll see a lot of the sources for what he says in the Shulchan Aruch. The other is the Be'er HaGola on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, with a little footnote you've got. Will he'll bring the sources? And the third is the Vilna Gaon. And as we get to know the Vilna Gaon better, you'll know that part of my understanding of the Vilna Gaon is around why did he write sources when his grandfather had already done it? The Be'er HaGola, that's what the Be'er HaGola is, an amazing, through the entire Shulchan Aruch, tells you on every paragraph where it comes from, where the source is. So if his grandfather did that already, why did he go and do the same thing again? So clearly, it's a different approach. So his grandfather, for example, the Be'er HaGola, says the source of this halakha is our Mishnah. And the Vilna Gaon points out, no, that's not really the source of the Mishnah. The source of the Mishnah is Perek Beis, because we're talking about Behema Torah, which means, according to the Vilna Gaon, they're not exactly the same. Because otherwise the Vilna Gaon wouldn't have worried about the Be'er HaGola. The Be'er HaGola says it's from the first Mishnah. Fine, okay, the first Mishnah is talking about a donkey, but what's the difference? It's the same halachot and it comes from the same posuk. So what's the difference? No, the Vilna Gaon says, it doesn't come from there. My grandfather was not accurate. It comes from Perek Beis. But he adds something that his grandfather doesn't add. He says, and take note of Chulin Daf Kuf Lamed Hei. Why? The Shulchan Aruch is clearly paskening the halachot from Becharot, first Mishnah and second Mishnah. What's it got to do with Kuf Lamed Hei? So clearly the Vilna Gaon holds that this is necessary, that the Gemara in Chulin is necessary for this Psak of the Shulchan Aruch. So we'll get there. We'll figure out what that is. Then the Shulchan Aruch says in Shin Kaf Aleph, Seif Chaf, Shutfut Ha'ovid Kechovim. Now it's talking about Chamor, Behema Tamea. Shutfut Ha'ovid Kechovim, he says, is Poetzer Bo. V'chol Dine Shutfut Ha'ovid Kechovim B'Tehoiro, Kein Dino B'Tamea. As you'll notice from the two Mishnahs, they're copies of one another. The halachot of a Behema Tahura and a Behema Tamea with respect to Shutfut Hagoy are identical, says the Shulchan Aruch very clearly. The Vilna Gaon doesn't comment. Now look at the Rambam. Now, I mentioned to you that the Rambam paskens the laws of Becharot in two different places. Odom and Chamor, he paskens in Hilchot Bikurim. First, all the Fadidim of the first fruits. And Behema Tehoiro, he paskens in Hilchot Becharot, which is part of Kodshim. So you already see the Rambam sees these two dimensions of Becharot. Part of it is like is Roim, is Bikurim, and part of it is Kodshim. So in Bikurim, he says the following. So Bikurim, remember, he's talking about the Chamor. Halokeach uber Chamoro shel akum, o amocher uber Chamoro la akum, afa pishe eno roshai, hareze patur min abchora. Do you recognize that? What's the Mishnah, right? Mm-hmm. Word for word from the Mishnah. Ve'en konsino tzal davar ze, and even though he's not allowed to do it, we don't penalize him. Fine. Haya ha'akum shutaf ba'em o ba'vachor. If the goy was involved either with the mother or the bechor, afilu lo haya lo ela echad me'elef bo harei ze patu. Haya lo bo o be'imo ever echad, kegon yado o raglo afilu ozno, kol she'ilu yechatech yeh balmum harei ze patu min abchora. If the goy doesn't own a monetary share, but he owns one of the limbs, if it's a significant limb, potter. V'im k'sheyech tachelek akum lo yeh balmum la mizbeach harei ze chayv. If it's insignificant and it wouldn't affect the ability of the animal to be brought in the mizbeach, then it doesn't matter. V'chein ha'mekabel chamor min ha'akum liyot metapel ba v'havlad b'enehem, or akum shekibel mi'Yisrael, or Kabbalah, which we talked about, I manage your animal and we share the profits, hakol potur min ha'bechor. Sheneemar peter rechem b'vnei Yisrael ba'adam u'vehema ad she'yakol b'Yisrael. So the Rambam clearly takes the whole of the first Mishnah, categorizes it together, and his source is one posuk, like Rashi, not two psukim like Tosfos, but not the same posuk that Rashi brings. Right? A different posuk. So fine, that's the donkey. Let's go to the Rambam in Hilchot Becharot, Perek Dalet.
The outcome from the Rambam's perspective is the same.
Yes. In all of these, at this point, the outcomes are the same. They'll start getting more subtle as we get into all sorts of different things. But at this point, it's more about the perspective, about how they're looking at Bechor, than significant differences. Even Tosfot, what's the difference? It comes from one pasuk, it comes from two pasukim. At this point, it doesn't make a difference.
I think it'd be interesting, the point you mentioned about why the Vilna Gaon would have brought the Makarot, given Rambam was, you know, the foundational point from a halachic perspective to say, therefore, that he brought Rashi as the Makarot, he has the same view. The single pasuk is a makor, the implication of that from a halachic perspective.
At least that it's a single, in as much as it's a single pasuk.
Yeah.
Right. Mother and child are one unit.
Yeah.
Now let's go to Behilchot Behema Tahora. Behema Tashutfin Chayevet Bivchora. If two partners, they're not non-Jewish, just two partners are involved in an animal, they have to, they're Chayev Bivchora. Lo ne'emar bekarcha v'tzoncha ela lema'et shutfin hagoy. Because the term bekarcha v'tzoncha, where do we find that term?
In the last one.
In Dvorim, in the last one.
Yeah.
That is lema'et shutfut hagoy. Now he throws chulin in. Shemaya shutaf b'farah b'ubar, afilo ayanu nochri echad melef b'em uvlad, harizi potu min abachor. So let's pause there for a moment. So in Hilchot Bikurim, talking about the chamor, the Rambam said the posuk is from Shmot. Makes good sense. That's the most rational of all. When we were learning the Psukim, we also said Shmot is where the halacha is introduced. The statement is made. That's where it comes from. But that was Peter Chamor. For Behema Tohara, he brings the posuk from Chulin, the posuk in Dvorim. Okay, so now we've learned from that that any partnership with a non-Jew affects the chiyuv bechoro, and there's no chiyuv. Whether the partnership is in the mother or in the calf. Look at halacha bet. Halokeach ube parato shel nochri or amocher ube parato le nochri afa pish en rashai hare ze patur min habechora ve'en konsino to al davar ze. So if I were to ask you at this point, and what posuk would the Rambam use for that, which is our Mishnah? It would probably also be Dvorim. He's following on. Halacha Bet is following immediately from Halacha Aleph. He's already brought the posuk. We're in Dvorim still. In Bikurim he brought Shmot. That was Petach Hamor. Halacha Gimel. Hamekabel behema min anochri leot metzapel ba'avavlot vladot b'nehem. Or nochri shekibel miYisrael kazeh. Just pause there for a moment. So here we're talking about I manage the mother, we share the prophets. So in the babies, in the Bechoros, we are partners. Will I be Chayav Bechoros or not? The Jew and the non-Jew are partners in the babies. No. Because of what posuk? We're in the Rambam, remember. And this is Behema Tohara. No. Why wouldn't we keep going with the same posuk? Lo ne'amar bekarcha v'tzoncha ela lemei trut v'tanochri. It says bekarcha v'tzoncha. How says the Rambam? Hara'elu p'turi min ha-b'chor sh'nema peter korechem b'vnei Yisrael ad she'akol mi'Yisrael. Now we go back to the same posuk as Bikurim. What's going on? So let's summarize what we've got so far. We've got Rashi who says, simple, there's one posuk. The posuk is in Bamidbar. When Hashem says, I've switched the Levim out for the Bechorim, he mentions in passing that Bechorim have to be Jewish. Doesn't matter what Bechor of any animal, of people, it's got to be Jewish earned. And from there we learn everything, says Rashi. Simple. Tosfos says, not so simple. The din for a goy being a partner in the mother and the goy being a partner in the baby are two different dinim that come from different psukim. The posuk that the mother's posuk is in Shmot, but not Shmot Yud Gimel. It's another Shmot Lamed Gimel Yud Tet. The whole miknecha tizacher, talking particularly about giving birth to animals. That's Tosfos's one posuk. And the other one is our posuk from Bamidbar, Kol HaBechor B'Yisrael, the same as Rashi brings. So what Tosfos throws into the mix is two psukim, not one. The Rambam seems to be saying one posuk, and it seems to be Peter Korechim B'Yisrael, the posuk from Shmot, so different from Rashi, but still one posuk. But yet he throws the Gemara in Chulin in the beginning of Hilchus Bechorus in Perek Dalet Halacha Aleph. He throws Bechulin in and he brings the din of Bekarcha Vetzoncha, which seems to be altogether different. So here's what I think we're dealing with. And again, so now, you know, as I said to you, that part of the importance of learning Gemara is to reprogram our minds to think in a Torah way. And that's why Gemara is hard. And that's why... In a way, all these exercises that have been done to make Gemara easier to understand are wonderful. It's the art scrolls, all the different things that have come out, and all the computer programs. But what they've all done is they've adapted Gemara to our linear minds. Because we think linearly, they've found a way to explain the Gemara in a linear way. Now you look at all of a sudden, it's easy, and you've got these diagrams, and this comes first, and then this, and sorts of color coding, and everything makes sense. And everybody's excited because now children can understand Gemara much more easily, and that's true. But if the purpose of learning Gemara is to reprogram your mind, and we know now that we know that there's neuroplasticity in the mind, that if you think in a certain way over and over again, the neurology of your mind changes, and it's visible. They can see it. They can see the changes, and very quickly. That's why when you do meditation, for example, if you do meditation for 90 days, your brain will be wired differently. And they can show it to you on a map in just 3 months of 20 minutes of meditation a day, sometimes some say even 10, and your brain changes. If you learn Gemara for 90 days, a little bit every day, also your mind changes. But that means it's hard, because our minds have become, we've learned to function in a linear way. And now we've got to learn, we've got to think like these technology guys. That's very, very hard. So again, we've got three psukim. We've got three parshas in the Chumash that we're dealing with, plus a few more, but three basic parshas in the Gemara. We've got Bechoros chapter 1 and chapter 2. Fortunately, they're virtually identical, but still, one is Behemoth's Male, one is Behemoth's Ahura. Then we've got Rashi, one posuk, Tosfos, two psukim, the Rambam, actually also two psukim. But two psukim in a different way. Rashi, Tosfos's two psukim is one for mother, one for baby. The Rambam's two psukim is one for Behemoth Tehora and one, and the other for Behemoth Torah and Behemoth Tamea. It's not as if it's one or the other. It's one posuk covers both of them, Tamea and Tehora, and then there's another posuk which is just for Behemoth Tehora. And that's the posuk in Dvorim. And if we look at the posuk in Dvorim, what it says there is Kol haBechor Asher Yivaled Bivkarcha Uvitzoncha Hazachar. So we're told there are two requirements. It must be yours and yours only. If you look at Devorim Perik Tesvot Halachi Posuk Yud Tes 15:19. So this is the posuk that Chulin throws in. And this is the posuk the Rambam brings in, and this is the posuk that the Vilna Gaon says, don't forget about it. You need it. You need this one too. What does it say? Kol haBechor Asher Yivaled Bivkarcha V'Tzoncha Hazachar. Two requirements: it must be yours and it must be male, right? Those are the two conditions. What must be yours and what must be male in this posuk?
The mother must be yours.
Yes.
And the baby must be male.
Well, the baby it doesn't say. Kol haBechor Asher Yivaled Biv karcha v'tzoncha zachar. So it's not that the bechor has to be zachar. This is talking about the mother having to be zachar. So now it comes out that there are two halachot. There are two forces that give this bechor its kedusha. The one is the mother. And what is it about the mother that gives it kedusha? The mother has to be owned by a Jew, and the mother has to have not had a previous kaf. That's the mother. The Bechor then has Kedusha, whatever that Kedusha means, a certain halachot that apply. This, though, only applies, what did we say, using Unculus as our guide, although the Hebrew itself and the Chumash itself is also that way, but one might be able to say maybe it includes donkeys, but from Unculus it's clear that it doesn't include donkeys. This is only Behema Tahora. When it comes to Behema Tamea, says the Rambam, which one do we use? Shemot. Kadesh li kol bechor peta kol rechem bivnei Yisrael ba'adam uva behema lihu. That covers everything. So that means there is an overarching halacha and there's a specific halacha. The overarching halacha comes from Shmot and it applies to all bechorot, Adam, behema, and behema tmeya. Human, cattle, donkey. That's Shmot. They're all treated differently. The human, you've got to do pidyon. The behemoth betzahira, you've got to give to the kohen, you've got to go to the mizbeach. The petach hamor, you've got to be poder with a seh. So they all have different halachot, but they start with kedusha that comes from a posuk in Shmot. There is an additional level of kedusha for a behemoth tahira. How do we know that? Because that goes to the besamik, that goes onto the mizbeach. That's unique. Where does that Kedusha come from? It can't come from Shmot because nothing in Shmot goes on the Mizbeach. So where does this new element of Kedusha come that a Behema Tahora goes on the Mizbeach? Ah, says the Rambam. That comes from Dvorim. That's an additional layer of Kedusha for a Behemah Tahora. So a Behemah Tahora has a universal Kedusha of Bechor plus a Kedusha of Matnas Kahuna kind of thing. Something that has to go to the Kohen, go to the base, onto the base of Mikdash. So now let's just see if the Rambam makes a little bit more sense. So if we look at the Rambam in Bechoros, which is now, this is Kodshin. So here we're talking only about Behemah Tahora, right? So he says in Perek Dalet, Behemat HaShutfin Chayevet Bivchora. Why? Because lo ne'emar b'karcha b'tzoncho ela l'mayit shutfet ha'goy. Since the mother has to be yours, and it has to and the baby has to be male, the mother has to be yours. That we learn from b'karcha b'tzoncho. And it's the mother that gives the child that kedusha, and if the mother isn't yours, it can't give the child that kedusha. That's the one case. Then we go to halacha two. Halokeach ubar parato shel nochri o hamocher ubar parato le nochri. Now you buy or you sell the ubar, you potter from bechora, potter min habechora. Why is that? So that, we don't know. That could either be because of the posuk we've just learned, or it could be part of the next one. Hamekabel behema min hanochri liyot metzapel ba'avladot b'nei. Here you've got shutafut in the children. So in these three halachot, in halacha aleph, you've got partnership in the mother. In halacha bet, you've got total ownership of one or the other by a goy, either mother or baby. In halacha gimel, you've got joint ownership in the baby. So if the goy owns either the mother or the baby, that we have from Bekarcha v'tzoncha. That's a general statement that it has to be yours in halacha aleph. If there's partnership in the vladot, in the babies, that we learn from Petek Orechem Bivnei Yisrael. If the goy owns the mother, or the goy owns the baby fully, 100%. The goy owns one of them 100%. So again, halacha aleph, the goy owns 50% of either of them. Halacha gimel, the goy owns 50% of the babies. And halacha beis, the middle one, is the goy owns 100% of the mother or 100% of the babies.
Which explains why a halacha bay doesn't need a posuk, because it's a kavachomer from aleph or kavachomer from gimel.
So let's try and understand which one is it a kavachomer for. Is the Rambam saying, should bet and gimel really be one, which is the way the Frankel Rambam takes the punctuation out of the end of the bet and treats bet and gimel as one? In other words, when the Rambam brings the posuk of Harei Eilu Pturim, it brings the posuk at the end, Shenemar, it's covers Bet and Gimel. But it's possible that Aleph and Bet are one.
Yeah, it depends what the case. If it's the mother, then it's... or if it's the child, then it's going with the same posuk. So you want to say it depends.
It depends
in Bet which one you're dealing with.
If the guy has the ownership in the mother, it comes from the posuk in the first one.
Before, if it's from the child, then it's covered by the posuk.
So this I want to look at a little bit more carefully next time. It's this Rambam, if you can, and when you're doing preparation. So what I would ask you to do for preparation for next time is the first piece of the Gemara, down till about halfway down the Amud of the Gemara, and then go back to finishing the Tosfot, and then we'll do that in the Shir. And work with this Rambam and see. This Rambam is very astonishing, because it's just, you know, what is it?
I mean, it definitely moves away from the initial Rambam which we had in the beginning, to say that it was one pasuk.
Yes, it does.
Because it's clearly now to...
In Behemah Tahorah. In Behemah Tahorah. In Petach Hamor, one pasuk. So that's one of the questions. Why in Petach Hamor is there one pasuk, and in Behemah Tahora there are two? And why do there have to be two in Behemah Tahora? Those are two different questions.
Possibly it's easier to answer the why one with Petach Hamor, because
of Dafka the Tzoncha, because of the Tzoncha is referring not to Petach Hamor, it's only referring to the Hema Torah, so there's no,
right.
there's no way it's going
to
be relevant.
So Dvorim doesn't apply to Petach Hamor. Uh-huh. So for Petach Hamor, we've only got uh-huh. Shmot, because he doesn't count Bamidbar, because Bamidbar is talking about another halacha, it's talking about switching the Leviim out. So that's not the source. The source is Shmot, and we have Dvorim, and Dvorim doesn't apply to the Petach Hamor. So the Petach Hamor is covered by Shmot, as is Behema Torah. Everything's covered by Shmot.
Correct. But then you need to
in addition, there's something that Behema Torah gets in Dvorim. Next week, I would like us to try and define more clearly what does that layer of Dvorim give the Behema Torah that Petach Hamor doesn't have, so that we get the Rambam's view of what Bechor is and how it works differently from the others.
A side question. Maybe obvious, but when it comes to the Dvarim, you said you pick out three things you take from that pasuk. You haven't included a fourth thing we take out, which is actually the whole inyan of Bekoch HaRetzoncha, the dafka those animals. Like correct.
It's only Bekoch HaRetzoncha. It doesn't apply to Adam, and it doesn't apply to.
You haven't taken that as a point as something we take out. From
but
that.
You're right. We should take out that as well. That whatever it is that pasuk is giving.
Right.
It's giving only to Behema Torah. Yeah. So the Rambam seems to be saying that that's where the special Kedusha of Behema Torah, that Behema Torah goes to the Mizbeach, and all the dinim of the Behema Torah, maybe the Rambam learns, comes from there. And I imagine that these things are going to become much more important as we get further into the Masechta. Right now, it doesn't make a big difference. We're just dealing with one fact. If a Goy has a Shutfus, what is the din? So they all agree, it's a Mishnah. If a guy has a shutfus, there's no din b'chor. That doesn't matter where you learn from. So that it's not going to make a big difference to these specific halachot. But if we have in our minds, if we can understand Rashi, Tosfos, and the Rambam, learning the whole din of what is the difference between Petach Hamor and the others differently, then I think we might be able to understand all sorts of things as we get further into it. So if we can try and define how we understand the Rambam and articulate that clearly, and then we can put it aside and keep a note of it. So as we encounter the Rambam going on, there might be difficulties that we can resolve by remembering that that's a principle that the Rambam has, which nobody else has. One thing is clear, the Rambam has a unique way of learning it, and the Vilna Gaon takes note of it. Because, again, in Shulchan Aruch Shin Kaf, where we're talking about Behema Tohara, everybody else, the Beira Gola, and everybody else, the Beis Yosef himself, brings the Gemara in, brings our Mishnah, or the Mishnah at the beginning of Perek Bet. The Vilna Gaon says, don't ignore Chulin. So for some reason, that's important, and we've got to understand it.
The other interesting thing about the way it's built is that it's built in layers. So you've got one posuk that already covers both kinds, Tameh and Tahor.
In Shemot.
And then you've got other psukim, which are specific to cover specifically the Tahor. But you already had a posuk that was covering both, which means it's being built in layers. So
yes.
You've got something that applies to all
kinds. One that is universal.
And then you've got something that only applies to a subset of
that's exactly
the whole lot, so you're building layers.
That's exactly right. And then we've got to look at that middle halacha base in the Rambam and figure out where that fits in, where it's drawing from. And you're suggesting, Ilan, that it draws from both of them, depending on whether it's the matter. So we've got to look at that carefully and just see if that's what it is. Okay.